James Version, if you're following along. If there's anything I say this morning that, well, maybe you disagree with or you have questions about, you know, feel free to approach me afterwards and talk about those things with me. I want you to feel open to have communication with me in regard to the Scriptures. There should be an open communication between preachers and the audience. I think that's very important. And preachers make mistakes. So, you know, feel free to discuss anything with me. Going to be talking about the tongue, both this morning and this evening. And we've got a lot of passages to cover, so we're going to go ahead and just jump right into it. I'd like to begin in the book of Exodus, in the 20th chapter of Exodus. And this is in the Ten Commandments, what's known as the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 7, it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Now this is again in the Old Covenant, but we're going to see that this is also applicable in the New Covenant as well. Nothing has changed here in regard to the name of God. The name of God represents the person of God. It is synonymous with who He is. And so when we reference God, we use the term Lord or God, and those are acceptable names because those are the names used by the New Testament writers. We don't really know how to pronounce, or at least I don't know anybody that knows how to pronounce, the name of God, the name that God gave to Moses there in the burning bush passage. And so that's really, you know, not important, though, because in the New Testament, the name Lord and the name God are used for the person of God. And so that those are our names for Him. In this text, He says not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. According to James Strong, that Hebrew word take, in the original text there, means to lift. That's kind of the more literal usage of the word, to lift. So we're lifting up, we're taking up the name of God. And he says, not to do so in vain. And that word is also interesting. If you do a word study on that Hebrew word, it can also be translated a number of other ways, such as to desolate or ruin. And again, this is according to Strong's. To desolate or to ruin the name. So to do damage to the name of God is what we're talking about. Using it in a way that does damage to it, profanes it, brings ruin to it in some form or fashion. Well, there are a number of ways that we can do this. We can be guilty of this, that is. And I'd like to talk about a couple of those ways, at least a couple of those ways, this morning with you. In the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 36, in Ezekiel chapter 36, this is during the time of the captivity. And one of the promises that was made to the Israelites was if they were disobedient to God, in short, one of the curses for their disobedience would be that they would be dispersed among the nations. And so this is part of that being dispersed, part of the captivity. And in Ezekiel chapter 36 and in verse 19, it says, "So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name." That's to do damage to the name of God, to injure it. "When they said of them, 'These are the people of the Lord,' and yet they have gone out of His land." So as a result of their sins, this was justice. God punished them and dispersed them and scattered them through the nations. But because of that, damage was done to His name. There was reproach brought upon the name of God. And the same is true for you and I. When we publicly sin, when we break a law, when people see us maybe lose our temper in public, or people see us or hear us, you know, using corrupt words or foul language, or speaking irreverently in regard to God, or they hear us gossiping, right? They hear us gossiping, and maybe not just in public, but even among our family members or friends. Well, what happens? Well, the name of God is damaged because we wear the name of the Lord. People know that you attend here. They know that you worship here. They know that you claim God as your God. They know that you worship Jesus Christ. And so when we commit those sins, it's hypocritical. It's an hypocrisy. And it looks like we're just putting on an act. Our religion, if you will, is just an act. Our practice of worshiping God is just an act to them. So the name of God is damaged or profaned. And that's exactly what took place here. It's in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, where Paul says that the Lord knoweth them that are His, or knows them that are His. And he says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if we name the name of Jesus Christ, and we do, then we're to depart from iniquity. We're to stay away from sin. When we don't, it profanes the name of God. And so literally, we are taking up His name in vain, or taking it up to its ruin or to its desolation there. There's another example in Romans chapter 2 where Paul was talking to the Jews, specifically the Jewish Christians, and to the Jewish Christians, as he spoke there, he was referring to them as being hypocritical. He was condemning their hypocrisy. He said, you who rest on the law, and yet you break the law, he said, because of you, and it's in verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, among the nations. And so you see, it's just as true in the Old Covenant as it is in the New Covenant. We can take up the name of the Lord our God and wear that name in vain or to its ruin and do damage to the name of God when people see us committing sin. People need to know that you worship here. People need to know that you claim Jesus Christ as your King and as your Lord. People need to know that. It's in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 16 that Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good deeds, see your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. How is God glorified if I do a good deed? Well, He's only glorified if they know that I worship the Lord God, and that's the reason that I'm doing those good things or doing those good works. It's because I'm a Christian, because I name the name of Christ. And so, see, God can be glorified, and His name can be lifted up to its glory and to its honor when we act in a godly manner, when we act as devout, good Christian people. But if we don't, well, then there's damage done to the name of God. His name is profaned. Let's take a look in Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment, because in Ephesians chapter 4, there are several references to the tongue. Ephesians chapter 4. And one of the references is in verse 29, where he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt word. I was doing a word study on this. It's interesting to look at the original Greek and see what some of the scholars have to say about these words and how they were used in Greek culture and other writings of the Greek language. Well, that word corrupt, according to Vines, it has to do with something that's putrid. And the word was also used of like animals and vegetables that had, animal meat, that is, and vegetables that had gone bad. You know, they rot and they're putrid and they're no good and they're nasty and they're bad. And so he uses that word here. Let no corrupt word, these bad words, corrupt words, proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, spiritually building up individuals. Well, let's skip down. Let's come down a little further. We'll actually come back to this text, Lord willing, tonight. But let's come down to chapter 5 for a moment. In chapter 5 and in verse 4, he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Coarse jesting is just simply telling a dirty joke. You know, just inappropriate kind of jokes and things and little funny things that people think in the world are funny. That's not fitting for saints. When someone hears me speak in that manner, use that kind of language, when they hear corrupt words out of my mouth, then the name of God is profaned because they understand or should understand that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Well, that's one of the ways that we can take up the name of the Lord our God in vain. But I want to talk about a different one now. Many times, the name of God is used in a very casual fashion. It's used very loosely in people's conversations. People use it as an exclamation, such as, oh my God, right? You hear that as more of an exclamation, almost used as a slang word. Well, take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at something in the law here regarding the name of God. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58 says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Now, he calls the name of God a glorious and an awesome name. And if you're reading from the Old King James Version, I'm reading the New. If you're looking at the Old King James, you're seeing the word fearful as opposed to awesome. Fearful. Awesome is the name of God. It is a name that is to be feared and revered and respected. And so it is not a name that's to be used casually or loosely. In the Psalms, in the 111th Psalm, Psalm 111, and in verse 9, says, He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Holy and awesome. And again, if you're reading from the Old King James, it's going to be a little different. The Old King James uses the word reverend there instead of awesome. And it's interesting. If you look that up in the Old King James, that's the only time in the entire Old King James Version, the original King James Version, that's the only time the word reverend is used. And it's not in regard to a man or a person or a priest or anything of that nature. It is used only of God. Reverend is His name. Now, according to Strong's, there's a number of definitions. I'm going to read some of it for you. It means to fear, revere, cause to frighten, be or make afraid, dread, dreadful, put in fear. So you think about, we think about that when we think about the name of God. It is to be feared. It is to strike fear into individuals. You know, back in the Old Testament there, when the Israelites came up out of the land of Egypt, before that took place, you know, God raised up this man, Pharaoh. And He said, For this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show My power in you, and that My name may be declared in all the earth. The name, remember, is synonymous with the person. It represents the person of God, His character, who He is. And so His name was to be declared in all the earth. And people were to fear that name when they heard that name, the name of God. And remember, it worked, just as God had purposed and planned, because over there in the book of Joshua, when the spies went to spy out the city of Jericho, remember Rahab the harlot? She was afraid, wasn't she? Remember, she had fear. She said, in fact, all of My people, we're afraid of you guys. We're afraid of you. They heard what the Lord God had done for the Israelite nation. And she even made mention of that Red Sea incident, which happened at least 40 plus years prior to that moment. So picture something happening back in, you know, 1981, 82, right in that era. Back in the early 80s, 40 years later, Rahab remembers what happened. Her people knew what happened, and she makes mention of the Red Sea. God's name was declared in the earth, just as He purposed, just as He planned, and it struck fear. God's name today is no different. God's name should strike fear in individuals. Unfortunately, God's name is used so loosely and so casually and really vainly. When people say, Oh my God, or, Oh my Lord, or, Oh Lordy, or using the name of Christ, Oh for Christ's sake, in an exclamation, or Oh sweet Jesus, people will say that. You know, any of these things. You know, this is taking up the name of our God in vain. And if we have been guilty of that, just don't do it anymore. We need to repent. Just don't do that anymore. And I'm not saying that you have. But if we have, That is taking up the name of our God in vain. So we can wear the name of God in vain, take it up in vain in the sense that we lift it up to its ruin through our actions or through corrupt words, or people hear us gossiping or backbiting others or what have you. But can also be used vainly, or we can be guilty of using it in vain if we simply speak it loosely, not showing any respect for it. In Matthew chapter 6, there's a text here where Jesus was teaching His disciples a sample prayer. It's just an example. Just a sample prayer for them to give them an idea of things to pray for. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 9, Jesus says, In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Hallowed has to do with being consecrated. Hallowed has to do with being set apart, being holy. And according to Vines, this particular word in the Greek, it is literally the opposite of common. So God's name is not common, and so it should not be used in common. It shouldn't be just tossed around and thrown out there. It is to be respected and revered and feared. What about euphemisms? Euphemisms are when society finds a particular word offensive, they find a kind of a replacement word so that you can say the same thing without actually saying the original. And there's, you know, for many of the curse words, you know, profane words, there are these euphemisms now. And if it's interesting, if you look up the word gosh, people say, oh my gosh, look up the word gosh, it will say it is a euphemism for God. So what they did is they put that in place. So, you know, saying oh my gosh is one and the same, really, as saying oh my God. We've simply replaced it to appear less offensive. OMG. Now that's not something people maybe say as much as they put it on social media, right? They put that and type that out on social media. OMG. All of these kinds of things are really taking up the name of God in vain and really doing damage to the name of God. It doesn't show respect or reverence for the name of God. And also, here's something to think about. You know, when we see those things online, someone posts something on Facebook, for instance, and it says OMG or uses the Lord's name in an irreverent manner, and I like it, or I put my thumbs up and say I like that. Well, it's one and the same as if I said it. I might as well be taking up the name of the Lord in vain myself. So these are things that we do need to consider. What about Jesus? You know, here he talks about the name of God, and he says, hallowed be the name of the Father. So whether you're looking at the Old Testament or you're looking at the New Testament, it matters not. God's name is to be revered and feared and respected. The name of Jesus also. In Philippians chapter 2, a text here concerning the name of Jesus Christ. And again, the name is the same. It's one and the same as the person. It represents the person. Philippians chapter 2, when the apostles in the book of Acts were going out preaching Jesus Christ, they were preaching the name of Jesus Christ. Well, they're preaching about the person. In Philippians chapter 2, and here in the context, after it, Paul talks about Jesus Christ being obedient to the point of death. In verse 9, says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So God has given him a name that is above all names. So that name as well, Christ, Jesus, Lord, those names are not to be used in a loose fashion. They are to be used reverently and respectfully, but never loosely, and never as an exclamation, and never in a casual type manner. What about things we can do with the name of the Lord that bring glory to Him? There are those things. There's the good side. We are to use God's name, and we are to teach His name, and we're to use His name, and we're to speak His name. And one of those ways I want to look at is in James chapter 4. Let's take a look at this. James chapter 4, this is a way that we can name the name of God and the name of Christ to God's glory. In James chapter 4, and beginning in verse 13, he says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. All right. So what James is dealing with here is an arrogant attitude. And when we plan and make plans, and we do, we make plans, we're going to do this, we're going to vacation here, we're going to go there. You know, if the Lord wills, you know, He's in control. And you know, we need to use that from time to time, use that in our language publicly. You know, you're talking to somebody at the marketplace and they're telling you they're going to Hawaii next year, and you tell them where you're going next summer, and if the Lord wills, and, you know, kind of see the reaction you might get. People need to hear that from us. Our family members, our brethren, all of us need to hear it from each other. Because it shows our faith in God and our understanding that He's in control, and it acknowledges Him. And that's language that brings Him glory and brings Him honor. It's the way the Apostle Paul spoke. There are at least several examples. I stopped looking after I found three examples. But the Apostle Paul spoke in this way. Acts chapter 18 and verse 21 is an example. When he was leaving Ephesus, he said, "I will return again to you, God willing." And then another example is 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 19. When he wrote to Corinth, he said, "I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills." And then also at the end of the letter to Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16 and 7, he said, "I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits." So God willing, if the Lord wills, if the Lord permits. And so this is the kind of language that acknowledges God and brings Him glory and honor. And again, we should do it amongst ourselves, amongst the brethren, because it encourages, it edifies, it builds faith in one another. What about another way that we can use the name of God to His glory? And we're going to talk just for a moment. We're going to consider just for a moment the idea of evangelism. Evangelism, of course, we hear the word a lot. I don't think the word's even found in the Bible. But evangelism, you notice the word angel is in the dead center of that word, evangelism. Well, what was an angel? Well, they were they're ministering spirits, but they are also messengers of God. And that's basically what the word means, evangelism. It's a messenger of good. It's someone who brings the gospel, when we're talking about the Bible, brings the gospel to others. So, an evangelist. Evangelism is something that we're to actively take part in. And there is a unique way that Jesus shows us that we can evangelize. And again, this is going to bring honor and glory to the name of God, to God and His name, when we use His name in this fashion, when we teach Him and talk about Him with others. There's a unique way that Jesus teaches us how to teach. Take a look, if you would, at Luke chapter 13. And I think this is something that, well, we can do pretty often if we apply it. Did I say chapter 13? 13. Okay, thank you. I was looking at 18 and I thought, did I say 18? It's Luke 13. What's so interesting to me about this text is Jesus receives the current events. All right, He's receiving the news. It's no different than what we do today, right? Oh, did you hear what happened in Florida? Did you hear about the hurricane? You know, did you hear what President Biden said on the news the other day? Did you hear this? Did you hear that? It's just current events. And we're always hearing them from one another and from other people. And what Jesus does is He takes the current event and He uses it as an opportunity to teach and to teach something that is spiritual. In verse 1, it says, "There were present at that season some who told Him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans, because they suffered such things?'" Now, before I go any further, I want to just make a brief note that you notice they brought up something very negative that Pilate had done, and Jesus doesn't start in on Pilate. Rather, He doesn't really get involved in that at all. He just spins it around and uses it as an opportunity to teach. "Do you suppose that they're worse than any others because they suffered?" He says, "I tell you no," in verse 3, "but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Now, He continues to teach them from there. But for our sake, I think that's good for now. Here, Jesus takes a current event, which we receive all the time from people, and He spins it around. He uses it as an opportunity to teach a truth, to talk about repentance, and telling these folks that they needed to get on track, or get back on track, repent. And so that's something that we can do. That's a way we can evangelize. It's very simple. And, you know, we don't have to sit there and you know, may not have the time even to you know, teach them the gospel, but maybe make some mention of God and His name. And maybe take an opportunity to teach them or tell them, you know, well, we're not afraid of what's going on. You know, a lot of people are afraid of the things that are happening today in this country. And you hear that from folks. Well, we're not afraid. What do you mean you're not afraid? Well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And God has taught me not to fear. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm not afraid. And you think that might throw some people? You're not afraid? You're not concerned? No, I'm not concerned of what's going to happen in the future. because I follow the King. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Take an opportunity to teach someone, take a current event and just spin it around. And that's exactly what Jesus did here. He taught something spiritual. And we can do the same. So the name of God is to be glorified. We can glorify it through teaching it, teaching His name to others, telling about who He is. We can glorify it by simply saying, if the Lord wills, when we're making plans. But we can also desolate it and ruin it and do damage to it when we commit sin, especially publicly, or even amongst, you know, family members, people that haven't maybe obeyed the gospel yet within our families. Do damage to the name of God when they see us or hear us gossiping or using inappropriate language or acting in any kind of sinful manner. Or if simply we are literally taking up that name in vain and using it loosely or casually. Thanks so much for your attention this morning. If you're here this morning and you need help spiritually, or you need to be baptized, maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe you've come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the King, is the Son of God. You'd like to have forgiveness of your sins. Be baptized today in the waters of baptism.